Yeah, the thing is moving now and looks good. The date's September 23rd, 1976, in the presence of Max Skelton and me, Louis Salas gave the following account of what happened on the Box 13 election episode in 1948. He said Lyndon Johnson stole the election through the help of George B. Parr, Ed Lloyd, then the mayor of Alice, Louis Salas, and another unnamed individual who actually did the transcribing of names from the poll list. Under the voting list, the 202 names. Salas said, quote, "Stevenson had the election won. There was no question about it," unquote. He said that it was traditional in that area and in his precinct to throw an election either way, period. He said that previously votes had been thrown to Stevenson in that very Box 13 precinct to help to elect him governor, period. Salas said that during the investigation of the Box 13 scandal, he told Stevenson at one point, quote, "Well, you're mad this time because the votes just didn't go your way as they had before," period, unquote. He said he often felt sorry later that he had said that to Stevenson, even though it was the truth, period. After the second primary was held between Stevenson and Johnson, Salas said he was ordered by the party to delay producing his vote count until such time as the rest of the state was in and it could be determined how many, if any, votes would be needed to put Lyndon Johnson over the top, period. During this delay period, Salas said, he kept all the clerks. He, in his role as election judge, kept all the clerks at their posts and had meals brought in from the outside as the voting as the vote count was being prolonged. Quote, "We'd count a vote and then we'd play some cards. Then we might count another vote," comma, unquote, Salas said. This went on for 3 days. On the third day, Salas said, quote, "There was a meeting in San Diego, Texas, attended by Lyndon Johnson, George B. Parr, Ed Lloyd, and myself," period. Lyndon told us, quote, "If I get 200 more votes, I've got it won," period, unquote. George B. Parr then said, quote, "I've got a man who can get the votes," period, unquote, unquote, for Salas. Salas said his responsibility was to confirm and support whatever votes were added to the total. But he said he did not actually come up with the extra 202 votes. It was the man assigned that job by George B. Parr. Period. In the subsequent investigation of the vote count in Box 13, then President Harry S. Truman was campaigning by train through Texas seeking re-election. Period. Salas said that a group of men from Jim Wells and Duval County, including Lyndon, including George B. Parr, Atchison, a city commissioner, Ed Lloyd, along with Lyndon Johnson, boarded the Truman train at Corsicana and told Truman that it looked like things were going against Johnson in the investigation and he might lose the decision. That meeting in Corsicana, Thomas Salas said, was at 10 a.m. At 3 o'clock that same day, a telegram came into Alice from Justice Hugo Black of the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, ordering a halt to the investigating proceedings. Period. That was all it took to give the election to Lyndon, comma unquote, Salas said. He said Truman had called Hugo Black from Corsicana after hearing the report from Lyndon Johnson and his colleagues, period. Quote, that's the way it works in party politics, unquote, Salas said ruefully, period. Talking about his political experience in Jim Wells County, comma, Salas said it was customary to simply provide figures on local elections without ever having to substantiate that the actual votes had been cast, period. Quote, we just declare 4,000 or 6,000 votes for one man and 20 votes for the other man, and that would be it, comma, unquote, Salas said, period. He said there was never any need to substantiate those figures until the Lyndon Johnson Coke Stevenson battle. Quote, that was a major league contest and the old technique didn't work, comma, period, unquote, he said. He said it was also traditional for the party leaders in Austin to provide money to his precinct in all elections during the 40s so he could pay poll taxes and use the money as needed to bring about the selected election results, period. He said his own political career began when he came to Alice as a telegrapher for the railroad, period. Quote, I began making friends throughout the Mexican community, helping people, period. When the, quote, new Democratic Party, unquote, came into force around 1940, I was one of the leaders of that party and could totally control the 8,000 or 9,000 votes in my precinct, mostly Mexican, period, unquote. Asked what his relationship with Lyndon Johnson was following the controversial victory in the Senate race, Salas said, quote, "I never saw or heard from Lyndon Johnson after that time," period, unquote. He said that prior to the election and during the investigation, Johnson came to his home and at one point offered to provide help to bring Salas' son home from Korea, period. That offer was not accepted, period. When Ranger Frank Hamer was brought in the investigation by Coke Stevenson, Salas said Hamer carried a huge pistol. And despite Salas' assurances he would be in the court as required the next morning, comma, quote, "Hamer sent two rangers to my house, one in the front and one in the back, to make sure I wouldn't get away, even though I told him I wouldn't," period, unquote. As for the testimony during the investigation, Salas said, "I lied. We all lied," period, unquote. Salas, now 75, comma, said he weighed 147 pounds and was in very poor health, period. He said he was a robust 210-pounder in his prime, period. He said he no longer lives in Alice and no longer cares to go back or have anything more to do with it, period. Quote, "Politics is rotten," come unquote, he said.
Talk about this. Now, you want to talk about, you know, what is success, winning or losing, how many? Well, I don't know, how do you describe that? Because I know a lot of coaches Pretty good seasons, but they were fired. But they won. You know, I don't know how you describe that. What is success? I think success is the final thing up here in education. What are we going to do for these young people? Yeah, that's where I say we missed the point. We don't look beyond the wins and losses. Well, these questionnaires that you send out, what are they
are they successful or
98% have been positive. All I'm trying to get is what direction, whether it's a positive or negative direction. Return has been beyond 50%, which I understand is very good in questionnaire survey. And the only negative things, most of them, there's many things that came about, how it helped them to be, you know, goal seeking. How they learned, you know, a lot about loyalty and self-discipline, learned how to control their thoughts, how it helped them in setting goals in their careers. And the negative things the program have been that they feel like they interfere with their studies and they poorly judged. That means they coach didn't play it, you know, this time. They didn't get enough out of that. But it's been almost a 90% positive return.
Well, how much time, say, with this program that you're talking about and with the technical side of football, how much time will Rice players spend, say, this year on the...
It takes 30 minutes a day in the program. For 30 minutes a day into the program.
What's been the reaction of your alumni support groups to this? This is, we're talking a lot of different terms of what we have to talk about. We talk about numbers, one, wins, losses, records.
Well, don't get me wrong, this is important. This is very important.
What's the reaction of your people?
Well, I can't really answer that. We haven't played our first game yet. We've had meetings I've been to have been very warm, receptive, and people treat us very kindly. In a short time, I'd have to say they've been very, very kind.
Did you have this program in effect at North Carolina?
Yes.
You said it goes, how many wins you hope to get this year, and how do you think you're capable?
We haven't set, see, we'll do that as a team. Our team will do that. We'll set goals, each player, each staff person, each coach will have his own personal goal. Then we'll set goals as a staff, we'll set goals as a team. We'll do this as we get into our practice session.
There was some talk about making an academic requirement on the last day of the college game, and that, is that going to change here?
We have to have a college board, a 900, that's a verbal math, has to be a 900 or above. So we are probably the highest academic required standard in the country.
It might probably be the general folks who don't know what you're trying to do.
See, I understand that. That doesn't have anything to do with my purpose in life. It so happens that I've been fortunate, I've been in winning situations there. In my coaching career, I was only involved in three losing seasons. That's out of 21 years.
What you're trying to tell us in general is that you want a man to graduate from Rice University to get out here and make a living without going the next day and going on welfare.
That's exactly right. Now that's in broader terms, that's what I hope I'm not bored with this. I just have to give you my conviction on this thing, and this is where I feel about it. That's why I'm in this profession. And we're not here to better the people in it. I think we're missing the whole point.
Coach, you talk about 30 minutes a day. Now, what is done in this 30 minutes? Is that a classroom situation where...
Yes, although there'd be some class and some individual that could do on their own. See, I use what I call spaced repetition. When you read the material and hear it on tape at the same time.
Does it have anything to do with meditation?
No.
Coach Wright?
Yes, sir.
You talked about your ideas and everything on, since you come to Rice, what you want to accomplish and stuff like that. Now, did you have the same feeling when you were in charge of the University of Oklahoma offense when you went there?
Yes, sir. I use the same principles then I do now. I guess one of the best examples of this is a young lad I had that came to me after our first spring practice there. He said, Coach, I believe I'm the number one quarterback. But he really believes, see, there's steps in this that you make the decision what you want to do in life. And then you set a deadline for each goal that you want to accomplish. And you write out the three, it's the plan. Write down what you're going to give in return. Then you visualize this happening and you really believe it can happen. And this young lad believed he was the number one quarterback. Well, no one on our staff believed he was the number one quarterback. We had about five. He was near the bottom because he was small and couldn't throw the ball. We were going to throw the football in his fifth year. And he just liked a lot of things. But he went home and worked on the passing program, throwing the ball to net. I told him 150 times. He did it 300 times. And he did all the power weight program, running and quickness and agility and endurance and things that were necessary to come back. And we didn't start in our first football game, but at the half we put him in and turned him around. I was against Oregon. 0-0 and ended up 3-0. And just a year later, in the Orange Bowl, when Oklahoma defeats Tennessee, Bobby Warbach was voted the most outstanding player in the game. Now, see, I've seen it happen time and time again. He took the principle, applied it to his position, and he really used the middle power, I believe. Greg Cook, my quarterback at Cincinnati, had never been in a winning football team in his life. His high school senior year, they were 0-10. He's in his junior season. He's not playing for him because he doesn't have attitude. He's not capable of taking the college size to do it. The next his senior year, not one pro team has him listed. And he turns around as player of the year. Both all the offensive records. Looked outstanding player in the college all-star game in Chicago. That little kid, Jimmy O'Brien, who never played football before. Another nation scorer. You know, I can just go on and on. I've seen kids who applied this, who had talent. They pulled the full potential out. This is the thing I'm talking about. But the thing is, now, this doesn't mean they're going to get up here, but it gives them the tool to do it. They take the play and stay with it. They'll get their high goals in life. And I see at the same time, I have a part in helping develop a young man in life, and also as a football player, gives me great satisfaction. And see, if I just think of him, I know a lot of coaches, and I wouldn't criticize anybody, but I know a lot of coaches are not concerned about the young man's personal life or his future, just what he can do on that particular Saturday and that particular season. You know, gentlemen, I talk about the tool of person. The greatest challenge is a person who can be successful in all areas of life, his spiritual life, his family life, his financial planning, his professional career, his personal achievement. That's the total person. That's the greatest challenge of all. And I know men have been highly successful in one or two of these, but not all. So this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give the ingredients to young people that they go in life and be somebody.
What percentage of the current Rice football team do you think has accepted this program that you're talking about? Do you think it's 100% or?
I don't know percentage. I know that their attitude is very good. They have a good attitude. We worked this past spring. Attitude, running, and technical football, which of course I'm a great believer in the teaching aspect of the little things. And they ended the spring with a great attitude. We ran it off a lot. We're trying to develop. I found that the kids strong. They've been on a power weight program, so they were strong. And we had some strength. But they were poor runners. That quickness and speed is necessary to win the competition that I know we'll be faced with. So we start every practice with four run and teach them how to run. We gradually build up the tempo so they can sprint and move. And you see, the team that's doing this in the last 4 minutes is the winner. You have to be a running football team to win. Quick, be able to run and endurance throughout the game. Technique, we did more technique coaching defensively than offense because on the offensive side I wanted to get more things in to look at because I didn't know enough about the technique.
What kind of coach are you? I mean, 3 yards of cloud of dust?
I'm a conservative, wide open football. Now, what I mean by that, I love to throw the football. I learned the passing game from my good friend Paul Brown, who I just spent a few days with last week, and Blanton Collier. And I like the triple option from the split backfield. So I call the triple pocket combination. We run both the triple, and it's unusual for this combination. I put this together, and this is being a very exciting offense. It is wide open, but it's sound. It has security. And I believe in simplicity with flexibility and security. And this is kind of a question.
I was saying, Rice always recruits a lot of players from out of state. say, do you plan to keep that up? And also, can you tell us who some of your top freshmen may be that have a chance to play quite a bit?
I plan to recruit first Houston. We're going to really work the Houston area. Then the state of Texas, then the outside. We're not going to go into national recruiting. We're going to work, we're going to stay right here along with most of my staff are from this area. And we're going to recruit here at home. I don't know why you go out of state when you have the best football, you play in it, and the numbers and it all here.
Going back to your type of offense, it seems like you would have hand-picked quarterback. Present one you have now is going to be a better right way.
Well, I didn't understand your question.
Well,
if I could hand-pick?
If you could have hand-picked a quarterback.
He fits the offense. Kramer fits the offense. He's working on his own this summer, of course. Come through a few little things I think he'll have the potential to be great in this type of offense.
Coach, you meant
what type of reaction do you get from high school football players to the program that you're talking about?
Very good. Great to talk to the parents about this program, the young men involved. You see, we have most of you know, Rice University. You have something to sell if you want a high quality education. You talk about 9 students for 1 professor. And if your degree from Rice will unlock almost any door. And with this type of football program, where we find the motivation beyond their career, plus how they use it for their present situation as a student and an athlete. Fantastic. I find great acceptance.
But aren't you limited on what kind of athlete you
get? Just on standards of academic, no limitation.
That's pretty particular.
That's a tough one, but that's what I mean.
When you were at North Carolina, how did you apply this program? Just through your coach, or did you have a direct sense?
No, I did through the coaches, of course, my administrative staff. And this is the part I've missed, direct contact with athletes. And I've been very active in my fellowship with Christian athletes. I speak to many groups about it in that area. But I've missed all the field coaching, and that's why this opportunity allows me to get back on the field and relate this whole thing together. I never tell anybody what I'm thinking.
Coach Reinstein,
that's my personal.
You held a seminar here back in, I believe it was June.
Yes, sir.
Administrators and coaches. How many attended that?
We had about 65.
Most of them were high school coaches.
Most of them were high school coaches, right. And I hope to develop the institute for the summer for those who are in the profession to come back and go through the training program.
Coach, did I hear you right mention triple pocket offense?
Well, I call it the triple pocket combination. That's what it is. We run the triple option. We back up and throw the football from the pocket. Throw pass. Combination too, I just call it triple pocket. It's a combination.
Well, is this something totally new? Is it a variation of the beer or what?
The summer to the beer, the triple is. That was my terminology. I guess most didn't know the story of how that name came about. Darryl, when he started Wishbone in Texas, we discussed this principle involved in this offense. This play, you see, the triple's a play, a three-way option. And I think you said Homer's triple, one of his moves, something like that. That's how the word triple got out. And we gave, when I was in high school ranks, 1950s, we call it the triple. That's
You call it the triple pocket option?
Triple pocket combination. Triple option, pocket pass. Putting those two together. You see, the thing is, you run the triple or the beer that some people refer, Houston first developed the beer, which has been very devastating. But your defense, you're sliding, you're not attacking that. You've got to move with it. Go back in the pocket for the ball, and you got to rush the passer. You got to have coverages. If you put these two together, think of a defensive coach now. He's got to stop something running right at him, and he's got to rush the passer. That, you can perfect this thing. It's the defensive deal. If you sweep the slides, it's tough to have. Plus, our formation, we're spread. We're got a lot of width. We have to use the horizontal stretch.
Is that what Texas does when they play?
Texas? No. Texas is a reversal from the play action type. I don't know many people that use this combination. Lou Holtz, North Carolina State, I met the FCA camp when he was going to William and Mary. And I just left since then at the time. Three days explaining this to him, so he goes in at William & Mary. The next couple of years, he's at North Carolina State beating us. North Carolina State. My alumni were very happy.
Well,
is
the pass, is the pass off this just another option?
No, it's just, think of the triple or beer, as you probably know more about it here. And then forget about that, just think about the quarterback going straight back in the pocket as you see the pro quarterbacks do.
Play Tom as well.
Yes. We call them the line scrimmage. Question.
Looks like the real key to success is advancing, which is one of the wins and losses. Your idea of success lies in recruiting. It's possibly better recruiting than Rice has had. How are you going to improve there? You can't beat people unless you have at least week in and week out.
We must improve our recruiting.
How are you going to do it?
Well, it's solid. We have to sell our program.
By selling theirs. You got to beat her.
We're going to sell ours. And the rule helps a little bit. Next year, the number is 95 per squad. And that helps us. The maximum you can take in one year is 30. But that max will show you that 95 will close that up pretty tight. So that helps. That'll help the situation like that.
Satisfied that you have the people to run this triple pocket combination out of Rice. Is it about what you expect, a little bit better, a little bit worse?
The people I have down there?
Yeah.
We need to really improve our offensive line. We have Danny Johnson is an outstanding offensive line. We need more strength there. We can come through there. We don't have the speed, depth of running backs. I think we have one quarterback capable of receivers at this point. So what we need is stronger, quicker offensive line. And two or three outstanding running backs. Because I know we're going to attract quarterbacks and receivers. This is the kind of offensive line.
Yes, from the recruiting process we have this morning. Potential player.
Right. I don't want to pardon for this, but I really like to reserve that comment. I don't really know. When I took the job in February, 10 days before, I think it was 10 days before signing, I had to take the list of the previous staff and had their evaluations. I did not have the time to evaluate. We did well inside of them if you pursue it. And so I've got a reserve comment on that, but I see the Swab boy from Tulsa. We got a receiver late from California. I think close to blue chip type football player. But I don't know about the time limit we have in that category. And how they're gonna fit in, so I better wait judgment on that. I'll know next year what we're going into and what we're gonna have.
Is Tommy Kramer, is he kind of the same type of boy personally and everything that Bob Warmack was? Are they different kind of what?
No, I think Kramer's a high level young man.
He got more ability than Warmack?
Oh, yes.
How about
Bobby didn't have the, he had more in here, you know, not say more than time, but he had a lot in here.
Yeah, I never saw a quarterback do any more that looked like the coach you want him to do for directing the team on the field that he did. He played two more years after you.
That's right.
After you got him ready.
That's right, he was just a sophomore. That was his first year playing. Turned out to be a great young man. He's coaching at Wyoming, by the way, with Akers.
Yeah, Fred Akers.
At Wyoming.
Texas, yeah.
Right.
How would you, does Kramer have some of the qualities perhaps that Greg had Cincinnati?
Yes, he has a strong arm. They're both about the same run. Greg Cook was a funny runner. They're not alike in the running back. I would say look like he's falling out of a tree. His degree was in commercial art. He was rookie of the year with the Bengals, and then an injury late in the season, his shoulder kept him from ever playing again. He had four operations in that shoulder. He could never get his arm up to throw the long. You can't do that. You're still driving the ball, but he couldn't get the ball up. So he did it in his career. He's a commercial artist.
Whatever you would consider some of your qualities, type players, coach that you have on hand now.
Do we have here?
Yes.
Well, I think that, I think Kramer's a quality player. Danny Johnson. Kenny Roy, this young man, tight end, has what we look for. I think Ross defensively, Field, he's an outstanding defensive player. Kenny Roy has a lot of talent as a tight end. And I'm sure the pros are going to, he's going to be high on the list because he may not be quite big enough right now. But he'll be in high consideration because of his ability to block. Jimmy Sykes, Billy Neal are two running backs that if they're healthy, well, I feel like they have a job. Really need more speed there, more depth. And hopefully we'll find some surprises early on.
Coach Rice, do you have your staff trimmed down to 8 assistants?
We didn't have to trim down, we just hired 8 coaches. We have a very fine staff. Sweet Lee, I think, you probably know Sweet. He was and I were together on that staff in Oklahoma. And he went off to the Texas A&M once. He'd been to Texarkana, Arkansas the past few years. And he's going to coordinate our defense. He's my chief assistant. Mike Dean, who played at Alabama, an outstanding player for Alabama, the secondary. I always remember Mike when he intercepted that pass at Orange Bowl and ran back 95 yards. He coached the secondary. Also, has a record at Alabama for consecutive extra points. I forget how many, but he also worked our place coach. Ted Umbehagen, who was here, Jim Carlin at Tech. Coach our defensive line. And Tony Sexton, a young man who's a Texas Southern, played for me in Cincinnati, working the defense and being the recruiting phase of it. Ray Allmore, who heads up our recruiting, he was here at Rice the past 2 years. Offensively, I brought Charlie Carr from North Carolina. Steve Moore, one of our receivers in passing, he was at Temple High School. Bobby Queen and played in California. It was with 49ers a short time. And did West Point his last coaching job. And Gordon Norwood, the quarterback in Arkansas, was on the staff there the past few years. Would be our offensive back to the coach. So it's a fine staff, and they're excited we're working. I believe we have a problem there. We got that part of the song.
Do they understand this attitude technique?
They're working on it.
Coach, when you talked about spending 30 minutes today, got in a little bit late. Are you talking about attitude technique?
Yes, sir. Yeah, they'll spend 30 minutes a day on their.
Simply that's
on their
motivation.
Right. That's right. And this, again, is motivation, not only as a player, but
spend about 10 minutes in sports writing today.
Pardon? I didn't say I spent that. I said a player.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, whatever time we want.
Is this a requirement? I mean, is this a requirement? Like, if some player came to you and said, "Coach, I don't believe it. I don't want to have anything to do with it."
I wouldn't force it on anybody.
Yeah. Has all the team? Is everybody on the team taken?
Yes.
Coach Rice, who uses? I know you haven't coached actually on the field since you were at Cincinnati, but who uses the same college team now that uses about like you do? Like last year, did North Carolina use it?
You mean the type offense?
Yes.
No, unfortunately, Lou Holtz and North Carolina State.
Who did?
Lou Holtz and North Carolina State just went to the
Jets. Yeah, the Jets. Yeah. Yeah. He used it what you like.
Yes.
Did you teach it at Cincinnati?
The offense?
The offense you're going to use it, right?
Yes, yes. We had the offense.
Yeah.
Coach, I've heard of a quadruple option play. Was it you that came up with that, or was it
Matt Pope? That was Clinton's
talk. Clinton's
See, to run the triple option, if you pitch out, then he throws a forward pass. I think that's quadruple. That's just Clinton's talk.
Yes, sir.
I'm
from Pennsylvania. I was wondering, you say you had this technique in Cincinnati. Sweet is no friend.
Pardon?
Sweet is no friend.
No. Sweet Lee is a very strong attitude, very strong person, and he used this type of program with his players from Texas. I think they won three state championships there.
Well, if you get in the Cotton Bowl January the 1st, we're going to have you as our guest speaker. We're going to motivate the town.
Well, you didn't say that.
Have you figured up how many days you might have spent on the road since you've been hired?
I'd like to have a different term.
Or have any clinics perhaps you might have, seminars you might have given?
You know, the toughest thing was I have many commitments. You know, it's hard to understand this, the magnitude this is, going from a director of athletics, a top school like on the planet, making a change. You know, when you change as an athletic director, you have much time. You know, you have a chance to go in, maybe go in June and take your time, you know, or something like that. And, but, you know, coaching, you know, it happens right then. You know, one minute you make the decision, then the next minute you have the job, you know, it's that quick. And this has been very tough because I had to go back to North Carolina on several occasions. Things worked out there. It's been quite an ordeal. I'm glad it's over. I fulfilled my last commitment last week. Things I had, I tried to get out as many things I had, but something. So I'm glad it's over. I'm here now to stay and coach and work on the program.
I won't tell you just real quick, but the president, that's that one, to have a sort of writer's meeting and take a break.
Symptoms. It's a disease, however, that can cause the types of symptoms that mimic many other diseases, so it's very difficult for the physician and veterinarian to diagnose, and laboratory studies are needed to support this.
And it could affect the unborn child.
And it could affect the unborn child, and this is what has been the concern. Now, we want to make sure that the majority of pets that utilize veterinary medical services.